May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you, Lord. Was that from John 5?
No.
Back in that you read?
Luke.
All righty, well, I'll read something from John 5. This is a man who was crippled by the pool of Bethesda. It's the same principle. And there were these five porticos, these four little pools, these five pools and porches that are around this pool. And he had been there for 38 years. There's a lot to this story. The indication here is that when Jesus asked him if he wanted to get well, that there was likely a connection to his sickness, to bitterness. And Jesus was speaking some things to him about, you're willing to let go of that so that you can walk out some real healing. Because he even said, Jesus said, do you want to get well? And he said, sir, I've had no one in all these years to put me into the pool, because the story was is that occasionally an angel would put his finger in the pool and stir up the waters. Whoever could get to the waters first would get healed. Well, if you were crippled or blind, you'd need somebody there, a friend or a relative, to help get you there quick. But this man had nobody. And so for 38 years, he'd been in this condition with nobody to help him. And Jesus comes to him and asks him if he wants to get well. Jesus saw something in his heart, but was also asking him, do you want to get well? And I believe that there was issues of bitterness in his life, and he was wanting to know if he was willing to let go of all that. And so Jesus said to him, arise and take up your pallet and walk. Well, that was the Pharisees had 39 laws that you couldn't break. And the 39th one was that you can't pick up anything on the Sabbath and carry it. And so Jesus tells him to pick up his pallet, which was against one of their laws. And he carries the pallet off after he gets healed. And he makes clear, it says, now it was the Sabbath on that day. And if you remember Jesus, he's going to say in a few minutes, he only did those things he saw the Father doing. He only said those things he heard the Father saying. And the Father evidently was in a mood to pick a fight. Because Jesus, it says about Jesus in John 1:18, that no man's seen God at any time, but Christ, who is his only begotten Son, has revealed him. And so the Jewish people had a false understanding of who God was. As I've mentioned before, they saw God as just a rule keeper and one who stood to judge anybody who would break their rules, kind of like a grouchy old man in heaven with a billy stick in his hand, just waiting for people to mess up, in a bad mood all the time. And Jesus came to reveal to them what God was really like. That God's number one desire and compassion, number one heart's thing was to heal, because God was a God who's love. Not that he was not holy and not that he's not justice, but the great expression of God's holiness and justice is the crucifixion of his own Son, who took on our sin and who paid the penalty so that he could express his true heart to love and to bless. This is therefore the Jews were saying to him who was cursed, saying to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet. He said to them, he who made me well was the one who said to me, take up my pallet and walk. And they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your pallet and walk? But he who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while the crowd was still in that place. And afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore. That's the connection, I think, to bitterness, so that nothing worse may befall you. Now, every person who's sick isn't because of his personal sin. Sickness is a result of the fall of man, but every person who's sick is not because of their sin, but there are some situations. Even this last week at the conference in Manchester, there was a couple of situations where their arthritis was connected to bitterness. When they dealt with their bitterness, they were healed. And he said, go sin no more, that nothing worse may befall you. And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them and said, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also calling God his own Father. They never referred to God as their Father. They didn't understand him as a Father. And Jesus was trying to reveal that to them over and over again in the Gospel of John. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father. And Jesus answered and said to them, and was saying to them over and over again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner." Now, what was Jesus saying to them? Don't get mad at me. This was the Father's idea. And he did it on purpose, on the Sabbath, because he wanted you to understand that what he cares about are people more than he cares about rules. And he sent me to destroy the works of the devil in the lives of humanity. Christians tickle me. They take the most important message in the world, the gospel, the good news of God's love for us. They make spitballs out of it and shoot them at each other. We argue over petty little things. We strain gnats and swallow camels. I mean, there are different expressions of the church, and those things are important only because they represent different concepts of who God is, but it's really irrelevant. What's relevant is God is love, and he's come to heal humanity. He's come to heal your heart. He's come to heal your brokenness. He's come to heal the bitterness and the anger. See, the most significant thing in this man's life wasn't just his body getting healed. Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." It's the bitterness that's destroying you. We need to never forget that. The kind of healing on the inside and the kind of healing on the outside. But he said, "I wanted to show you the Father." The Father picked a fight on the Sabbath to confront your nonsense, to show you who he really is and what's really important to him. That is loving fallen and broken humanity and healing them and setting them free on the inside and out. This is not what I was going to share today. I had another really cool word that I was excited about. But he evidently was excited about this one. As Bracken was reading that story, I just thought about that. Lord, why are you here? Why do you come to us in simple things like bread and wine? We fight over the theology of that. It's such nonsense. In whatever way you would explain it, just be blown away that the God of God, the Lord of Lords, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He just took his hand in his side that was still open. You mean the Lord and God would come and let himself be slaughtered? Have an open wound for us? What kind of Lord and God is that? The one who is love. He would come to us in bread and wine? Who would do something so simple, so ridiculous, so humiliating? Who would be crucified naked? He was crucified naked. Jesus was trying to show them, this is your Father. This is who your God is. This is how much he loves you. John, who saw Jesus walk on water, raise the dead, calm the storm, speak to Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, felt comfortable enough to make his breast a pillow. Who would invite us to come that close, who cares that much? That's who he is. That's who you've come to meet with today. You with me? It's irrelevant where we're wearing bamboo suits or robes. Whether all this other, what matters is that your Father is here. And he has sent Jesus to heal you. To heal your anger, to heal your hurt, to heal the unforgiveness, to heal the confusion, to heal the pain in your heart. And yes, to heal your bodies too. He's come to set you free. He's come to make you whole. It's who he is. He went a long way to demonstrate to you how much he loves you. So I just invite you to come, to be open, to let him do what he wants to do. This dear lady right here behind Bracken. No, you, yeah. God has done so much in your life. But you're in a season now where he's accelerating some things and doing even more. There's just a couple of places that are all kind of clogged up. Kind of like, have you seen a picture of a log jam? There's just some log jams and God's breaking up those log jams. Doing some final touches to some amazing healing because he's about to thrust you into a real healing ministry. Where your voice and your hands become instruments of Jesus in a profound way. You've asked for it. You've even seen it in the Spirit, but it's much bigger than you think. Much bigger. And you see, the reason he's doing even more and even deeper and even some more unexpected things that you thought were already dealt with, but he's going to finish it up, is because you can only freely give what you've been freely given. So he's going to do more, so you got more to give away. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.